here after Colorado's 11th spring practice. A lot of offensive line interviews today. Yaya Tia came in there and spoke to us. And we got the four-headed Colorado offensive line coaching monster as well.
Yeah, the four G's all spoke to us, and we get a lot of information about the offensive line at various different positions and different areas of expertise. I know they rotate a little bit, but it does seem like, you know, obviously Andre Garrod played center, you know, so you get some good stuff about the center position there, and George Hageman played tackle, and so you get some good things there. So we learned a lot. I mean, there's obviously a lot of competition. That's the biggest thing. My other big takeaway is that it really seems like there's a lot more fight and aggression out of this offensive line.
And you asked a question about when you have an offense that is going to have a heavy emphasis on the run game, it gives those guys a lot of mojo. They just never really got that going here the last few years. And so I think just the attitude of the offense is going to help them as well. And I mean, we heard George Hageman say they feel pretty good about 8-9 guys right now. I could see that number being even more like 10-11 by the time they get close to the season, depending on injuries. But there's not a whole lot separating the first and second teams right now.
Yeah, no question. I mean, there's even a couple guys that have been out that, were transfers that have got some experience. And so, you look at a guy like, I asked about Philip Houston, who was the starting right tackle 2 years ago when this team won 9 games and hasn't played since because of injury. He's now playing guard, but he's fighting for a spot to even play guard, or play tackle. He may not even be in that top 8 or 9 right now. I don't know. So I think there's a lot more competition here than maybe we've seen in the past. So we thought there was last year, but it just strikes me as there's even more. And maybe I love the attitudes of guys like Yo-Yo, and Chauncey Gooden, who just appear to just be, they use this term maulers, but both those guys just seem like they're maulers.
Yeah, no question about it. And you don't have that headlining guy in that group like you did with the Jordan Seaton a year ago. But it does sound like Demetrius Hunter has come in and established himself in that center role. Sean Kinney's going to obviously compete with him as well. He was an all-conference guy at Lafayette last year. So you like the top two guys there at center. And I thought it was a good question that was asked today, too, about it being important to have very veteran centers when you have a couple of younger quarterbacks that are vying for that starting job.
Yeah, I think it was Andre was asked that question, but asked how much that helps a Juju. He said, I think it makes him more comfortable back there, knowing that I think what he said was Juju can yell at those guys, knowing that, hey, I need you to do this, and they're not going to get offended because they know what they're doing as well. And so they know how to deal with a quarterback. And so both those guys, I don't know the number of snaps, but Sean Kinney has played a lot of snaps. He's snapped the ball a lot. Demetrius Hunter is a 2-year starter at Houston. So he's not only done it, he's done it in the Big 12. And so there's a lot of experience there. That has to be comforting for Isaac and Juju, and showing that, hey, I can get on that guy because he'll take it well.
Bo Hewley may be the front runner at left tackle. It's a little bit too early to say definitively at this point, but he's played some football. And Chauncey Gooden is a name as a returning guy that is continuing to impress. Of course, Yaya Tia. Who else do you kind of have your eye on in terms of guys that are vying to be part of that 8-9 mix?
Yeah, trying to think of that whole group there. Taj White, is one of those guys that's up there as well. Sean Kinney's another one that we talked about at center, but like he can slide over and play guard as well. Jose Soto is a guy that that came over from Sacramento State with Brennan Marion, that big guy that has played a lot of football for Brennan Marion in this offense, and so you have to look at him as well. He's been one that as we've watched well off, it looks like he's played a lot with the first and second team as well at guard. And there's a number of players. Now, I'm blanking on some names right now, but
Leon White.
Yeah, Leon White's another one that a tackle. Who was it that mentioned Leon the other day? That who were we talking to the other day that mentioned Leon? Vili mentioned him, that he actually went against him at a junior college. And so Leon's got some experience as well. So there's a lot of guys vying for spots. And again, Andre Roy is in there, and Larry Johnson is in there as well.
I mean, took us this long to mention Larry Johnson, the third.
Think about this. Larry Johnson was the starting right tackle for most of last year. Philip Houston was the starting right tackle 2 years ago for this team. And both those guys are fighting for a starting job right now. Andre Roy made a couple starts last year, and it took us that long to mention those guys. But there's a lot of competition here, and you're seeing all three of those guys that'll play tackle. They're also lining up at guard at times too, and so it's going to be interesting to see where they land as far as that starting five.
I don't know if you would necessarily need four offensive line coaches in the previous era of college football, yeah. But when you bring in this many transfers, I think it's nice to have that many hands on deck, especially when it seems like those four guys genuinely have a great chemistry and camaraderie amongst them.
Yeah, I think it only works if that group of coaches gets along and has a system. And Coach White has talked to us about that system. That like they switch it up too. Like there's days that he's working with the guards and Andre's working with the centers and Hageman's working with the tackles, and then Grant's kind of going around the whole group, and then they'll switch that up, and one day maybe Grant's working with the center. So I think it allows them all to have their voice heard, and I think each of those guys are going to learn differently too. And so I think we've talked about it before, but Sean Kinney, for example, might connect more with George Hageman than he does with Gunnar White, or vice versa. So I think it's good to have that.
Don't know like a lot of positions on this team, what the ceiling is, but you know that you're gonna have a very, very deep competition. It might be among the deepest on the football team this year as they lead up to the season.
Yeah, I think so. And you mentioned obviously they don't have the star in Jordan Seaton. I think this has potential to be a better unit though, than it was last year. And you're going to miss Jordan Seaton, right? I mean, he's a first-round NFL draft pick, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinion. So you're going to miss him. But I think as a unit, they might actually be better.
Yeah. And they got to be well-conditioned. George Hageman has kind of led the charge there by losing a bunch of weight. He's got Yaya Tia on a weight loss diet as well. So they're going to have to be conditioned. But I do think this is – if I was an offensive lineman, I think I'd have a lot of fun playing in this offense, don't you?
I think I'm going to have to talk to George, too, and get ready for this next season. I got to lose some weight, too. But, yeah, these guys seems like they make it fun, but they're also going to get on you. And I think they got that right combination of that.
All right, we'll be back on Friday after Colorado's 12th spring practice. Now you're going to hear some comments made by assistant Colorado offensive line coach George Hageman.
I know you've been very open about your weight loss journey over the last season, and Yaya seems he's kind of been picking up on that as well. So how do you think you've been able to lead as an example in that aspect?
You know, one of the things that, really like pressed me like last year is I get an opportunity to speak at the NFL Combine every year. Been doing that for like the last 18 years. And one of the bigger things that I always tell them is about every year you have to show up as your best self. And I'm just going to be really honest with you. I was starting to feel like a fraud with that because I'm talking to some of the most elite athletes that are going to play, go to Super Bowls, make millions of dollars. But I'm about 150 pounds overweight. And although I was carrying it well, right, I really took an interior look at myself and said I wanted to be better. I'm always challenging our guys to be better. So from that standpoint, I got with this little guy right here. He was my accountability partner. And man, I just really took it as an opportunity to see Boulder. I walked the campus every day. I walked basically where I live in Broomfield every day, and just really got to it, man. And every day I just realized I was a better coach, better person, better father, just a better man just by showing up better every day. I appreciate the question though.
How did you address finding better leaders?
Man, that's an excellent question. And that was the emphasis, right? Here's the toughest thing about the transfer portal for every university. You don't necessarily know what you're going to get until you got them. And then when you get them, you got to put them in extreme situations, extreme pressure to find out how they're going to respond. So what we did this year was a lot different than what we had ever done in the past, which was pay more attention to that. Like, how does that person actually respond under pressure? And as you can see, and as the other coaches have said, particularly up front, the guys that we have, when pressure hits, they don't crumble or they don't crack or they don't sink. They actually protrude forward, right? They take coaching, really hard coaching, very well. We got four different coaching styles in the room. And it's good because you got at least four different personalities in the room. So when you're trying to make a group cohesive, the very first thing you got to figure out is how are they going to gel? Do they have the ability to gel? Have they ever been under any type of pressure or extreme circumstance, and how they do with it? So I think that's one of the better things that we've done this year.
How do you evaluate that without knowing these guys and doing it in such a short period of time?
Yeah, in that short period of time, you got to be really good about how you actually find out information about those guys. And then when you do get the opportunity to get them on campus, you have to be specific and purposeful and intentional about the questions that you're asking. Really putting them in the situations where you know you're going to need them to be their best. And this is something we've probably always heard. You always hear people say, your best ability is your availability. Right. I've always never believed that. I've always believed that your best ability is to be your best when we need you the most.